This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is. A good day for us to gather our spirits together in worship. It's my joy to welcome you, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream. We are glad to be together to worship our God this morning. I would like to invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and notice the names of the friends sitting with you on your row. And if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to meet someone new today. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser and register that way. A few announcements as we gather this morning. If you are a parent of someone who is a rising 7th through 12th grader, you are invited to the Youth Parents Meeting right after this worship service downstairs in McWhorter Hall. You'll be hearing about all of the opportunities throughout the summer and in the early fall to be in ministry together. On the third Sunday of every month, we usually have a service of Teze worship. It's a contemplative service of prayer and music. That service in person will be taking a hiatus over the summer, but we will be live streaming or broadcasting previous services on the third Sunday of every month at 5 p.m. So you can continue that practice of prayer and music over online. Out in Reed Hall this morning, there is a table that is being staffed by our friends at Open Table Nashville, who are some of our partners in ministry among those who are living in homelessness in our community. We've been partners for many years, and we want to invite all of you to visit that table and learn more about that ministry, and we'll have a ministry moment later in the service where Allie will share a little bit more about what they are doing right now in Nashville. We received a letter late this week authorizing us to announce the good news that in the conference year 23 through 24, there are four of your pastors who are staying put. Reverends Stacy Harwell Dye, Maggie Jarrell, Shannon Baxter, and myself are all continuing on the team with West End, and we are excited about that. Yay! So we will be celebrating Aaron Racine's ministry with us in the upcoming weeks and welcoming Reverend William McLean onto our staff later in the summer, but we're excited about God's moving us forward into the future. Finally, if you've taken a look at your bulletin, you might recognize that I am not Dr. Herbert Lester. Reverend Dr. Herbert Lester was going to be our preacher today. He has been our spiritual guide on our two pilgrimages to Montgomery. He's the pastor of Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church in the Brentwood area. And he met with us on Tuesday and shared with us the text that he wanted to preach on. And then on Friday afternoon, he called me to say he'd been admitted into the hospital. So he will be in the hospital at least through Tuesday and has asked for our prayers, and we want to be holding him in prayer as we gather in worship this morning. So I'm picking up the story that he chose and trusting that God has things to show all of us as we gather in this time for worship. So let us worship our God together.
Oh, thanks to the Lord.
Our God is a mighty God.
Our God does justice for all.
Exalt the Lord our God.
Let us worship the Lord, for our God is merciful.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make now our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of all people, we thank you for your steadfast love. Forgive us when we ignore your mercy. Forgive us when we hoard your gifts. Protect our interests over the needs of the marginalized, and hide your grace from others in the name of our own comfort. Give us the strength and courage to take your gifts and pass them on to the world, even when it's risky, so that all may live in your steadfast love. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the second book of Kings, chapter 7, verses 3 through 9. Now, there were four leprous men outside the city gate who said to one another, "Why should we sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we shall also die. Therefore, let us desert to the Aramean camp, and if they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." So they arose at twilight to go to the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the Aramean camp, there was no one there at all. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When these leprous men had come to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, ate and drank, carried off silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "What we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we shall be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children. So if there are any children here who want to come and join me up here, come on down. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a few minutes together. Welcome, welcome. I'm glad you're wearing a jacket. It's a little cool out there this morning, isn't it? Feels nice. Come on down. So glad to see all of you. Goodness, some of you are getting tall. That's what happens. We grow, don't we? Come on down. Well, this story that we just heard is one that I really wasn't very familiar with. I've read the Bible a few times, but this was one that I just never paid attention to. So I thought to help you hear the story in a different way, I would tell it in a different way, kind of a once upon a time story. And instead of people, I'm going to talk about a little group of mice. So once upon a time, there was a little village of mice. They lived in a field. They were field mice. And there were two field mice in the little village whose fur started coming out. And they didn't look very well. And so the king of the field mice said, "What you have might be contagious. You better go outside the wall of our little village and live outside the wall." So they were sad about that, but they did. So they lived outside the wall. Well, weeks and months went by, and there was no rain. And so all of the field mice started to get really thirsty and really hungry, and things looked really bad for them. And then those two mice who were sitting outside the wall said to themselves, "You know, things are really bad. We can't go back in the city. And if we sit here and do nothing, we'll just die of hunger. I guess there's nothing left to do but just to go explore." And so they went out. And after a while, after they'd been walking, they heard the sound of rushing water. And there was a river. And they drank and drank and drank all that water because they were so thirsty. And then they looked around and there was a picnic table. And some humans had left behind a lot of cheese and bread and snacks. And so those two little mice started to eat the cheese and their bellies were full. And they laid down on the table, looked up at the sky, and one of them said, "You know, what we're doing isn't right. We have all this food and all this water. We need to go tell the other mice from our village. We can't just keep it to ourselves. We need to share." And so they did. They went all the way back to that field, to that little village, and the people who had made them sit outside the wall, they forgave them. And they said, "We have found water and food, and we're going to show you how to get there." Those mice did the right thing. They were kind and they shared. And that's what God wants us to do too. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us to know that when we are enjoying good things and have everything we need, that you want us to think of other people too and to share what we have. We thank you so much for people who have shared with us, and help us to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Aaron to and Pastor Maggie, who's standing by the door, to Children's Church. It's true what I was telling the children, that I've read the Bible through a few times when I was in seminary. I've done disciple Bible study 2 or 3 times. I've studied 1 and 2 Kings. I'm teaching Sunday school today about 2 Kings. But I'll be honest, until this week, I had never noticed this little story about these four men with leprosy and what happens to them and the choices that they make. Dr. Lester had chosen it for us, and we got a chance to meet with him over Zoom on Tuesday morning as we were doing our worship planning. And he gave us a little idea of what he was thinking of, but I didn't know where he was going to go with this story. And then when he called on Friday to say he was going into the hospital, my heart just ached for him and for us, because we don't get the opportunity to hear him preach in our midst. But I'll get him back. He'll come and be with us soon. And so Friday afternoon, I was left to decide, do I stick with this story that's so unfamiliar, or do I pick another one? There are so many other good stories I know a little bit better from 2 Kings. But the more I dug into this story, the more I fell in love with it. The more I can see things that we can learn from this story. So if you're like me, you don't know exactly what's going on in the bigger picture here. So let me catch us up a little bit on where we are in the story. This story takes place in the northern kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of David and Solomon had been divided into the north and the south. And this takes place in Israel, the northern part of the kingdom. In the 6th chapter, the Aramean army had come in to attack Israel. And God had made things happen in such a way that the Aramean army finds themselves in the capital city of Samaria. They sort of wake up, and that's where they are. And the king of Israel, Jehoram, wants to kill them all in that moment. He's got them right where he wants them. He wants to get rid of them. But the prophet Elisha says, no, don't kill them. Feed them. Give them water and food. And so the king does, and the Arameans change their minds, and they leave in peace. It's a moment of mercy and grace right there in the middle of all these battles and war in 2 Kings. But years pass, and a new king comes to the throne of the Arameans. And he decides he doesn't like the Israelites, and he's going to attack them again. And so he sends his armies, and they lay siege to the city of Samaria. And so the Aramean army is encamped around the city of Samaria for weeks, months perhaps. And there is a great famine in the city. You can go back and read chapter 6 to find out just how bad the famine was. And so the king, Jehoram of Israel, looks around at his people's misery and everything that has gone wrong, and he is just drowning in fear and anger, and he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and he decides he needs somebody to blame, so he blames Elisha, the prophet, for showing mercy to the Arameans in the first place, and he wants to have Elisha killed. And so he and his captain of the guard go to the door of Elisha, and bang on the door, and Elisha says, keep your shirt on. It's going to be fine. This time tomorrow, there will be food aplenty in the city of Samaria. Just trust me, God will provide. They have their doubts. They don't know how it's going to happen, but at least they don't kill him. And then the scene shifts to this text that Brant read for us. Outside the city of Samaria are four men, four Israelites who have leprosy. They have been forced to leave the city because of their disease and the fear around the disease of leprosy. So they are shoved to the margins, forgotten. But they have each other, and there they sit together on the outside of the wall. And they ask one another, what should we do? We can't go back, or we'll die. We can't just sit here and do nothing, or we'll die. Our only choice is to head out to the Aramean camp and see if they will receive us. If they don't, we'll die. So they set out. And in God's amazing, wonderful pattern, God chooses to work through the least and the lost and the marginalized to bring about amazing things. Because as these men are walking toward the Aramean camp, God amplifies their footsteps and makes it sound like chariots and a great army of thousands is marching toward the Aramean army. And the Arameans get so frightened that they just throw everything up in the air almost and run off, leaving everything, leaving all their supplies, all their food, all their silver, gold, horses, donkeys. And so when the four men arrive at the camp, the spoils are incredible. There's food aplenty, there's water, there's gold and silver. And so the four men go into a tent. There's a picture on your bulletin of them peeking into a tent. And they see all that's there and they eat themselves silly and they drink all they want to drink and they take the silver and the gold and they run out and they hide it. Then they go back in and there's another tent and they do the same thing. They eat and drink and take the silver and gold and run out and hide it. But the third time, they go into the third tent and they come to themselves. Something stops them and they say, wait a minute. What we're doing is wrong. Today is a day of good news. It's a day of good news for our people. God has liberated us. God has saved us. And here we are just gorging ourselves and keeping it all to ourselves. We've got to tell everybody. And even though they had been rejected and put out by the Israelites and by the king, they go back and tell the good news. Now, the king is skeptical at first, and there's a whole series of events that happens, but sure enough, the prophecy of Elisha comes true. By the end of the next day, there is food aplenty being shared by the people of Samaria. It's a wonderful miracle. And once again, God using the most unlikely people to bring about salvation and abundance for all, regardless of who deserves it and who doesn't. So one of the questions we bring to these stories is, how do they speak to us? Where are we in the text? Well, we have several characters we can look at. There's the king, the political leader, who's drowning in fear and panicking, and all he wants to do is play the blame game. Then we have Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, who is so certain of God's provision, and he sees the vision and proclaims it and has no fear at all. And I don't know about you, but I'm not quite either one of those extremes. So maybe we are somewhere in the middle. Maybe we are found in the story with these four men with leprosy. And there are two moments in their story that really spoke to me as I read this story this week. The first part is what I think Dr. Lester wanted to focus on. This moment where they say to themselves, what are we going to do? We can't go back or we'll die. We can't sit here and do nothing or we'll die. We might as well step out into the unknown and see what happens. And see what God will do. I wonder if you've come to a moment like that in your own life. I've been thinking this weekend about a friend of mine who's doing her father's funeral in a week's time. And he died in his late 70s, and he was about to celebrate 18 years of sobriety. And she talked about how he came to that moment in his life where he realized that he could not keep going the way he was going or he would die. And he didn't want to go back to the life that he had or he would die. And so he decided, I got to step out into a new future, into the unknown, and hope that there's life ahead of me. I think for many people who are in recovery, there is that moment of, some call it hitting rock bottom, realizing that our only option is to go forward. It can be true for the church as well. I was reading this week about a Christian church in Oakland, California that had had 1,500 members back in its heyday in the 80s and 90s. But it had dwindled down to about 12 people worshiping on Sunday morning. They had this enormous building, this beautiful building in the middle of this community. And they looked at themselves and said, we can't go back. And we can't just sit here doing nothing or we'll die. Our only option is to step out in a new way and hope that God has life for us. And boy, did they. They opened their doors to the community in a way they never had before, and they opened a book giveaway and a clothing closet and allowed groups and recovery groups to meet there and nonprofits to work there, and their worshiping congregation hasn't gotten that big, but they are sharing the light of Christ in their community in a way they could never have imagined. But they had to step out into the unknown in faith, like these four lepers did. And I was really moved this week by the moment that they came to themselves in that third tent. When they had everything they needed to eat, where they had filled themselves with all of the things in the tent, and they could have just lived there forever, but they realized this is good news for everybody. All of this abundance isn't just for us. This is good news for our people. It is good news for the world. And it's such an important reminder for those of us who worship God and who are part of a life of a faith community, for us to remember that we find in this place a feast of abundance, of grace and forgiveness and acceptance and inclusion and belonging and purpose. And there's a whole world beyond these walls that is hungry for all of those things. And so I'm grateful to be part of a congregation that keeps the question before us, how do we share this good news with the world? How do we let people know that there is a place of belonging, there is a grace abundance for all of us, and that God's provision will provide peace and justice and abundance and enough for all? So there's inspiration. Not to keep the good news to ourselves, but to go back and share it. Even with those whom we may consider enemies or those who have hurt us in the past, the good news is for them too. So let us welcome this beautiful, quirky little story from the Hebrew Scriptures, because in it we find a God of abundant grace that is for you and for me and for all. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand with me and affirm your faith through the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada, on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, you're welcome to fill out the care cards in the pews, little gray cards, and put those in the tray as they go down. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to contact us on our website and leave us a message. We'd like to remember those who have been in and out of the hospital this week, praying for healing and smooth recoveries. And we also want to celebrate with the Stevens family on the birth of Elizabeth Parrish Stevens on April 19th. Parents are Abby and Mark Stevens, and her big brother is Wright Stevens. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. Today we lift up joyful voices because of your faithfulness, God. You have shown yourself to be present with abundant grace and love. When times lead us to consider the steps before us, you, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself and offer us the goodness of counsel and peace. Day in and day out, we consider our choices. We look around us to see what is coming next, and you quietly nudge us in the way of love, peace, charity, and grace. You admonish us to do unto others as we would have done to us. And you ask us to put ourselves and our needs to the side so that others may know your grace in our actions and our words. Lord, we ask you to form our hearts, to make them more like yours. Make us more into your likeness so the world can experience your love and your light. Help us to listen to you in the quiet so the world can see evidence of your grace, evidence of the world as you desire it to be. You call us into this place today so our cups may be filled, but also so our lives may be changed. Part of that change is learning to rely upon you, to listen to your guidance, and to trust. And it's in that spirit that we offer up to you today our hearts. We lift up the stirrings of our hearts to you, asking for your presence in the situations that concern us, your warm embrace in times of loneliness, your provision in times of hardship. We lift up hearts for the places in our lives that bring us happiness and joy. We give thanks for you, O God, and ask for our eyes to be open to see the work you are doing in the world around us and seek to be a part of the change you are bringing about. May we live in your light and allow it to shine in all that we do. And as we close out this moment of solitude with you, we speak together with the words you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have an opportunity to hear from one of our ministry partners from Open Table Nashville.
Good morning. My name is Allie, and I'm the Interim Executive Director at Open Table Nashville. I'm really excited to be here today and just share a little bit about who we are and what we do and how Weston United Methodist Church is an integral part of that. So for those who don't know, Open Table Nashville is a nonprofit interfaith community that disrupts cycles of poverty, journeys with the marginalized, and provides education about issues of homelessness. We have a street outreach and housing program, and we also provide a lot of advocacy efforts for individuals who are experiencing homelessness in Nashville. West End is actually one of Open Table Nashville's longest running faith community partners, which is really special. On a given night in Nashville, there are not enough shelter beds available to those who may seek shelter indoors. Nashville is also continuing to experience a deepening crisis in the availability of affordable housing units. There are not enough places for people to live. At Open Table Nashville, we believe that housing is a human right and everyone deserves a safe place to exist. So for the last several years, West End, UMC, and Open Table Nashville have been working together through a program here called The Quiet Place. And every Thursday, someone from our outreach team works with West End volunteers And it's something that I think has become a really unique thing in this city. And it's really wonderful for nonprofits like us to know that there are churches in this city who want to use their buildings to create spaces of respite, of compassion, and of care. In a world that has become increasingly unsafe to those who experience marginalization and oppression, this church has said, "You're welcome here. You can come inside from the brutal cold, the blistering heat. I can look you in the eye and I can tell you, you can rest here." We're always so encouraged when faith communities seek to use their facilities in creative ways to provide resources, whether that's food or clothing or bus passes, to individuals who so desperately need them. I want to tell you about a person that we met through the program here. And I was talking to one of our outreach workers, Claire, last week, and I said, "Can you talk to this person and make sure it's okay? I tell a little bit about their story." And she said that was fine. And this woman's name is Vicky. And Vicky came to the Quiet Place because she knew that this was a place where she could come and come inside. And she met some West End volunteers. And originally, she met our outreach worker, Susan. And Susan doesn't work here anymore, but when Claire came on in Susan's place, Susan made sure that Claire would take really good care of Vicky. And Vicky knew that this was a place that she could keep coming back to. And so they started on the housing journey together. And Vicky had been experiencing homelessness for 5 years, and she was pretty transient and bounced around to a lot of different encampments. And after 5 years of experiencing homelessness, Vicky was housed in December. And through that process, she's actually reconnected with her daughter and is experiencing a lot of repair and healing and reconciliation, which is a really beautiful thing. And because this church and this space has allowed us to work out of here, we were able to meet Vicky and provide the housing services that she needed. And I know that right now the Quiet Place program is on pause here and having some conversations around certain elements that are important and need to happen. But I feel confident that West End will always continue to be a welcoming space to all of its neighbors and continue to have conversations around how you want to be and who you want to be in this community. So I just wanted to share a little bit about Vicky and tell you that we wouldn't have met her if it wasn't for The Quiet Place and how important our partnership is in this community. So the June offering here at West End is going to be for Open Table, and I just want to tell you all thank you so, so much. Our work is important and needed, and we just at Open Table have endless gratitude for West End's support through the years. It's really special, and our work doesn't happen without people in this community choosing to partner with us and come alongside of us in our mission. So thank you so very much. At Open Table, we believe that we have a collective responsibility towards creating a world where everybody thrives and not just survives. So thank you for joining us in that responsibility and seeking that world with us.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give thanks with joy to the God who has been so generous with us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
seated for just a moment as we invite members of our Guatemala team to come forward. Some of them will be in this service, others will come at 11, and some are worshiping with us online. But we want to take a moment to commission you and bless you for the work that you are about to do on our behalf. This group will be leaving a week from yesterday, so on Saturday, and they will be doing the work of love in our community, in the community of Odeem. Members and friends of West End United Methodist Church, before us today stand either here in person or virtually online, those who are ready for a particular assignment as volunteers in mission, who wish to dedicate themselves to their task starting on May 27th. Now we, as a congregation, commission them and send them forth in the name of Christ and the church. Here are the names of all who are going on this trip together: Harvey, Mary, Trey, Hudson, Caroline, Rebecca, RJ, Emily, and Stacy. And before us today, we have Emily and Stacy. We rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote time, talents, and energy for 1 week with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. Your labors will take you to the people of Guatemala. They will also be on mission to you as they likewise share their faith. You go to see where God is at work there and to join in God's work. Through word and deeds, you are to testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility. And so I ask you, will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in the spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leader, and with respect for national church officials and local hosts? If so, say, I will, the Lord being my helper.
I will, the Lord be my helper.
We'll invite the two of you to kneel here at the altar rail, and let us join together in praying this prayer of consecration for these friends. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through Jesus, send your blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Guatemala. Grant that they be guided and strengthened for their task, that they be open to new truths and insights from their hosts, and that they be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name may be glorified in all the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as you go forth, we join together in singing our closing hymn. I invite you to stand as you're able. In this time together, we have feasted on the abundant love and mercy and grace of God. May we go from this place to share it with the world in Christ's peace. Amen.